was in India. Now when I come here, I feel that I am in Hyderabad because I see so many people. It's like one of our Hyderabad assemblies. We have got, by God's grace, about 150 assemblies in Hyderabad. We now and then go to share the word with the people over there. So as I come now here, I feel I'm in one of the assemblies over there. And I thank God we are continuing in the traditions which our forefathers have set. So before we look into the word, let us have a word of prayer. Gracious Lord, our dear loving Heavenly Father, in the blessed and worthy name of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, worship, we thank you for giving us this opportunity to come around the table to remember our Lord and also to worship you, to magnify, to glorify along with your people. Thank you for the time of worship you have given us. Now as we are going to look into your word, we pray that I must hide the human vessel and speak to us from the heavenly throne. As we have now just sung, thy voice may be heard amongst us. Speak to me, speak to each one of us. By faith we bind the powers of darkness, we bring all this in the precious blood, and pray with thanks and praise in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Please excuse me for my Indian accent or Telugu accent. Bear with me as I share the word. Now, John's Gospel, chapter 18, verse 1. John's Gospel, chapter 18, verse 1. Let's read together, please. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook of Kedron, where was a garden, into the which he entered and his disciples. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Here we find the Lord Jesus Christ, before he was crucified, he entered into a garden along with his disciples. See, the thought of garden is there throughout the scriptures. You know, where first man was placed? We know in the Garden of Eden. We find an interesting thing there. See, God commanded, let there be light, and there was light. Let each tree bring forth its fruit, or kind of fruit, and also animals. At his word, they were created. But when he came to the garden, as we read in Genesis chapter 2, verse 8, so read there, Genesis chapter 2, verse 8. Book of Genesis. Yes. What do we read there? It did not say, let the Eden garden come into existence. What did he do? He planted a garden. That he took interest. Before he placed the man at the garden, he wanted to see that everything was comfortable for man. So he has thoughtfully placed every tree in the garden. So that shows the interest that he has for human beings. He places very great value on human beings. That's why he has formed us in his own image. And the Lord Jesus came in the human form. And now he is in the human form. Of course, he is in the glorified body in the heaven. And he is going to be there permanently in that body. He was a spirit. God is a spirit in the beginning. But he has chosen to come in the human form. And remains there in the same human form. It is beyond our comprehension. He is there now in heaven with a glorified body, and he is going to be there permanently in that body. And we are also going to be those who have accepted Lord Jesus as personal Savior and waiting for him. When he comes, our bodies also be transformed into the glorious bodies, and are going to be with him forever and ever. So now he planted a garden. So he wants, in one sense we can say that he wants human life to be like a garden. And we find throughout that thought of garden coming in, and in the book of Revelation also we find, finally, in the new creation, it's going to be a garden. There is going to be a tree of life, and there is a river of life. So, he wants human life to be a garden. He wanted to be a garden. But what happened? We know that the devil has come and spoiled that. He is the one who made our lives like a wilderness. See, book of Isaiah, chapter 14, verse 16 and 17. Book of Isaiah, chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. Yes. Yeah. He is the one. That is, he is talking about the Lucifer. If you find, if you read from verse 13 onwards, he wanted to be equal with the Most High God. But he was thrown down. That's why, because of his vengeance, he made the world as a wilderness. God wanted us to be a garden, but the devil made the world and human life as a wilderness. So, but the Lord Jesus came again to make our lives as a garden. That's what we read in John's Gospel, chapter 18, verse 1. The Lord Jesus Christ and his disciples entered into a garden. So, he wants our lives to be like gardens. What do you find in the garden? Fruits, right? Yeah, first of all, as we enter into a garden, we find there is an order. You see, in the wilderness, the trees grow haphazardly as they like. But in the garden, you find a definite order. There is a fence around, and flower trees are at one place, fruit trees are in a different place. So there is an order. So Lord wants us life to be an orderly life, disciplined life. When we accept Lord Jesus as our personal Savior, when we allow Him to come into our lives, the earlier our lives like wilderness. But when we allow the Lord Jesus come into our lives become orderly. Our God is a God of order. So He brings order into our lives. See, also he says, Paul says, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40. Decently and in order. So he brings discipline or order into our life. If you are really a born-again child of God, through his Holy Spirit, he speaks to us. He brings an order into our life. The discipline, our personal life, your family life, church life, and also in our social life. Social life, he brings discipline. See, that's what we also read. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 17. In church also there is discipline. There is an order. There is an order. We must maintain that order in our personal lives also. That is, we read the Word of God. We spend time in prayer. We have family prayers. And also, we do everything in a disciplined manner. Lord teaches that discipline through His Holy Spirit. So, first of all, in the garden, if we say our lives ought to be like garden, there we must maintain discipline. There is order in our personal and family and also social lives. So, our personal life also, there should be regular Bible study and a regular time of prayer. Spend time with the Lord. We must read the Word of God. As much as we need food for our physical body, so much we need this spiritual food, that is the Word of God, for our spiritual life. So we must, Lord, in His great mercy and grace, has given us this Word of God in the language in which we can understand, that is freely available to us. We must read the Word of God, and we must apply the Word of God to our lives. So that brings order in our lives. As we spend more and more time with the Word of God, that brings order also in our life. So we must also read the Word of God, but rather I normally mention, but you already must be knowing it. The Word of God is given to us so that we may hear it. And also we must read, receive the Word of God, read the Word of God. We must recite the Word of God, memorize the Word of God. We must also rehearse or meditate on the Word of God. And we must also study the Word of God, research the Word of God, not just reading, but we must study. So study, we normally say, see that at the graduate level we are introduced to the subject, but at postgraduate level we are told how much we do not know. At research level, we try to know a little bit of what we do not know. Isn't it so? Either engineering or medicine, at graduate level you are introduced to the subject. At postgraduate level, when you go to the postgraduate level, you see, you are not studying the entire civil engineering or entire electrical engineering or computer science. But you do know there are so many other branches. There are so many other branch specialities which you do not know. Which you are not saying, you take up one subject and study that. And you become aware that you do not know so much. And so in the PhD level, you take only some small topic. You don't study entire mathematics or entire chemistry or entire physics. You take only small topic and go deep into that. That is the real study. Similarly, the Word of God, which is written with the heavenly wisdom, needs thorough study. That's why in book of Isaiah chapter 34 also says, study the Word of God. You must study. Paul also exhorts Timothy, you study. Spend time in studying the Word of God. There is so many truths are available in the Word of God. You must take a sufficient time to study the Word of God. So when we receive the Word of God and read the Word of God, recite the Word of God and research the Word of God and rehearse the Word of God. What is the purpose of all this? We must respond to that Word of God, whatever the truths that are revealed to us. Must respond. We must apply that Word of God to our lives, whatever the truths that are revealed to us. And seventhly, we must also relay the Word of God. Whatever we receive, we must be able to share with other people. First of all, we must start with our own family members in our family prayer. Whatever the Lord has revealed to us in our personal study, we must share with our family members. Then Lord has to give us the opportunity in the Sunday school or youth meeting or other places or in the place of our work. We can share the truths that Lord has revealed to us with the other people. So for that purpose, the Word of God is given to us. So as we read, meditate and apply the Word of God to our lives become orderly. Very disciplined. So that's how our lives become like a garden. Then what else you find in the garden? First of all, the order we said, our farm. Yeah, greenery. There is foliage. There is greenery. So we find when we are driving through this America, we find so many green trees. Now they are changing their color because the fall is coming. So much of greenery, greenery. So Lord expects us to be people always flourishing and rejoicing in His presence. See, Psalm, we know, First Psalm chapter 3, verse 3, sorry. First Psalm, verse 3. Shall prosper. So the greenery, what does it indicate? It's unfading life. Unfading. Say his leaf also doth not wither. That's what he says. A person who reads the word of God, meditates upon it, is like a tree planted by the rivers of water. So his leaf also does not wither. He's always rejoicing, always be in contact with the Lord. So there will not be any withering or waning away in his life. He's always full of life and josh. So as Christians, when people look at us, we must not be sorrowful or with long faces, but we must be like a green tree. Must be pleasant to look at. A green tree, we enjoy them, looking at them. So pleasant. So as people of God, as we read the word of God and have fellowship with him, our faces will show forth the life of Lord Jesus Christ. There will be beauty of Lord Jesus Christ seen on us. So the condition is that we must be planted by the rivers of rivers of living water. That is continuous flowing water. What does water indicate? Word of God? Yes. The Holy Spirit. The Word of God, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, Lord said in John's Gospel, chapter 7, verse 37, he that believeth in me, rivers of living water will flow out of him. Lord Jesus Christ told Samaritan woman also that I will give you living water. He that takes this water will never thirst. That is when the Holy Spirit of God comes into us, our thirst will be quenched. When will we get the Holy Spirit of God? Anyway, we are made for God. God created us for himself. That's what we read in Book of Isaiah, chapter 43, verse 7, he says that we are made for the glory of God. He created us for himself. So as long as we are with him, we are satisfied. If we are out of contact with him, we are dissatisfied. So that's why before we accept Lord Jesus as a personal savior, we did not have any satisfaction. So everything is a waste. That's what preacher says in Ecclesiastes, book of everything is vanity and vexation of the spirit, he says. Only when we come to the Lord, when we accept him as the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven, then the Spirit of God comes into us. Our spirits are quickened, made alive. We have contact with living and true God. And so as the Spirit of God comes into us, as I allow him more and more into our life, we are satisfied. It is like taking water. So our thirst will be quenched. And Lord Jesus Christ is compared to as the bread of life. Of course, compared to so many other things. So every has bread of life. He gives us the strength. By eating him, we are satisfied. We are strengthened spiritually. As we are in contact with the Spirit of God, and as we meditate on the Word of God, these two are complementary. So we become very satisfied, and our lives will be pleasant to look at, where we show forth the beauty of Lord Jesus Christ, beauty of Lord Jesus Christ. That's why again here says, he that meditates the Word of God day and night. Meditates the Word of God day and night. How do you meditate the Word of God day and night? Does it mean that we sit in our closet, always read the Bible and keep on praying? What does it mean? Memorizing. That is all the time we keep on memorizing. In one way, we remember the Word of God in our day-to-day practical life. Whatever we do, we remember the Word of God. And we see whether what we do is according to the Word of God or not, or in accordance with the plan of God or not, counsel of God or not. So that's how we keep on remembering the Word of God, meditating the Word of God, remembering the Word of God, and try to adjust our lives according to the Word of God. That's how our lives become very pleasant. and full of greenery. And that's what also he says in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, verse 5. Book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, from verse 5 to 8. Read that, please. Yes. Yeah, neither he shall cease from yielding fruit. So, even in the time of drought, in the sense, there will be a lot of problems and difficulties in our life. In our day-to-day life, we face so many problems. See, there are problems between wife and husband. There are problems with the children. There are problems with our neighbors. There are problems at the place of our work. There are financial problems, health problems. There are so many problems. As we read in the book of Job, chapter 14, 1, we are born for trouble only. That's what man is born for, trouble. But as we face these troubles, but when we are with the Lord, when we trust the Lord and depend upon Him, as the Word of God dwells in our heart and as the Spirit of God is there in our heart, so we do not get worried. We do not lose heart. We do not become frustrated. We do not become discouraged. But the Spirit of God reminds us the purpose for which all these things are coming and how we can make best use of them to grow in the Lord. So that's how we maintain our greenery. That's how we maintain our greenery. So the Word of God and the Spirit of God enables us to maintain greenery in our life. We trust the Lord. His promises are true. They are unfailing. And He has got a great and lofty purpose for each one of us. With the purpose He has saved us and has making us to live in this world. So as we know the purpose of God in our life, as we understand His thoughts and counsels for us, we maintain that again in spite of problems, difficulties, calamities, disastrous situations, we maintain a greenery. So in the garden, that's how God expects us to be a garden. And what else we mentioned? Fruit also. There's greenery. There is fruit, the fruit of the aspect. What is the fruit? Fruit. There is so much of fruit, spiritual fruit. We have the fruit of the Spirit and also fruits of the Spirit. Fruit of the spirits. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Joy, peace. We know Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. We find there the Spirit of God, as it dwells in our heart, we bring forth this spiritual fruit. Automatically it comes out. Love, joy, peace, long suffering, so and so forth. So if we are a people of God, I mean, when the Lord Jesus Christ is there in our hearts, in our life, as we meditate and have communion with the Lord, we automatically bring forth the spiritual fruit. Spiritual fruit. There must be fruit. Through our fruit only people come to know whether we are good people or bad people. Good people or bad people. If you accept the Lord Jesus as our personal Savior, there must be, first of all, there is a fruit of repentance. Fruit of repentance. See Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 8. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 8. What are the fruit meet for repentance? If we are truly born again, there must be change of mind, change of heart. We turn away from sinful things, sinful habits, sinful thoughts, sinful attitudes. We turn away from them. That is called repentance. Repent, turn. Turn from those things and then show forth the fruit of the Spirit in our life. So that's why John the Baptist very severely warns them. Unless you bring forth the fruit of the proof for repentance, he says, axe is already laid at the roots of the tree. They will be cut down. They will be cut down, he says. First of all, if you say that we are born again, there must be a spiritual fruit. First of all, there must be fruit of repentance. And then we have the fruit in our life. So, if you are really born again, there will be spiritual fruit, love, joy, peace. There will be in our life. And also, spiritual the characteristics will be coming. See, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, verse 23. The Lord Jesus tells about the parable of the seed. Yeah. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, verse 23. Read that, please. So, if you are really born again, if the Spirit of God is dwelling in our hearts will be like a good ground. Good ground. So, when we hear the Word of God, meditate, understand the Word of God, so we apply that Word to our lives and we bring forth 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold fruit. That is, whatever the Word of God says, we apply to our lives. We act according to that. And for that purpose, the Spirit of God gives us the enabling. On our own, we can't do that. On our own, we can't do that. But the Spirit of God is there to help us. That's what Paul also says. Galatians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through, Philippians 4, 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Who strengtheneth me. On our own, we can't do. But the Spirit of God is there to help us to do according to the Word of God, to act according to the Word of God. So, there must be 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. There must be growth and fruit yielding also. And also is in the Psalm 1, verse 3 we said, bring forth fruit in its season. In its season. So, as we grow in the spiritual life, in its season we must bring forth more and more fruit. More and more fruit. See, as we our children grow, we expect them to show progress in their life. Say, when they come to 5 years of age, we want them to go to school. By about 15 or 16, we want them to graduate, complete the high school. Then about 20, 25, they must enter into a job. And then they may get married, bring 4 children. That's what we expect. They must progress in the career also. Similarly, spiritually also, there must be growth in our spiritual life. Bring forth more and more spiritual fruit. Spiritual fruit. That's what he says, 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. 100-fold fruit. That is, whatever the word that is given to us, whatever we learn, we apply it. Come to our life and walk according to the Word of God. So, the spiritual fruit we must bring. And also, we must bring the fruit, fruits of the Spirit. In the sense, we share the Word of God with others and bring many to the salvation knowledge of Lord Jesus Christ. Give them the Word of God and bring forth fruit. See, soul winning. Book of Proverbs, chapter 11, verse 30. He is wise. Wins souls. He is wise wins souls. The fruit of righteousness. So as we have the desire, if you accept Lord Jesus as personal Savior and is worshipping Him, reading the Word of God, meditating upon it, there is urge for us to share this good news with other people. Because we see so many people perishing in this world. They do not know where they are going. They are heading towards eternal destruction. But we know the truth. We are enjoying the salvation. We are enjoying the peace of God, the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ, the joy unspeakable and full of glory, the peace that passeth all understanding, and the abundance of what we are enjoying. So we can't be selfish. We have to share with other people. That's what the command Lord has given to us. Go and preach to all nations. and see that they also become the disciples of Lord Jesus Christ. So if you are really born again, and as you are reading and meeting the word of God, there is an urge to share the word with other people and see that they are also born again. First of all, we must start with our own family members. Our own family members. We must see Lord has given us wife and children. Your first responsibility to our family members. We must see that our children are born again in their young age before they go into the world. Their hearts are like good ground before they are about 5 years of age. It's a good ground. We must see, plant the seed of the word of God. Seed of the word of God. So that it may bring forth fruit unto repentance. Fruit unto repentance. Slowly, lovingly, we must lead them to Lord Jesus Christ. We should not leave that to the Sunday school teachers. The people say, sometimes they say, see, we are sending our children to Sunday school, we are sending them to youth meeting, but still they are not born again. They blame the church people, church leaders or church pastor. But that's not correct. They are in the Sunday school or they are in the youth meeting solely once a week. But for the rest of the 6 days, they are with you. 6 days they are with you. So they must be taught the word of God and see that if you ask the Lord, Lord will help you. According to 1 John 5:14, whatever you ask, according to the will of the Lord, Lord will grant us that request. And Lord wants everyone to be born again, even our children also, to come to the saving knowledge of Lord Jesus Christ. So that is his will. So we must ask, Lord, you want my children to be born again. So help me to lead them to you. So that privilege and opportunity God has given to us. So we must lead the children to the saving knowledge and also help our mates to grow in the knowledge of God. That is our first response to our family, not only providing them physical facilities, financial facilities, but must first of all give them the word of God and see that they are born again. They are with us. See, if they are born again, they will be with us for eternity in heaven also. If they are not born again, they may be with us only for this life and then they will pass into eternal destruction. And Lord will ask an account of us. So we must share the word of God with our children, bring them to the saving knowledge. That is the fruits. Lord says, see, if we bring forth, we must bring forth fruit, Lord's name will be glorified. He wants us to be fruitful. We must bring forth much fruit and more fruit. More and more people we must gather to the kingdom of God. So then our lives will be like a fruitful garden, fruitful gardens. So there must be fruit. There must be fruit in our life. So how many people we are sharing the word of God? How many people we have brought to the saving knowledge of Lord Jesus Christ? Who must have been born again for so many years? It's good. But at the same time, must also ask the Lord, Lord, tell me with whom I can share the gospel. And the place of our work also, there are so many colleagues who are perishing. Must seek opportunity to share with them the gospel and lead them to the saving knowledge. Saving knowledge. So that's how our lives become fruitful. He wants us fruitful. Lord expects fruitfulness in our life. Well, he has given us so many facilities. If we don't bring forth fruit unto the Lord, sometimes we may bring wild fruit. That's what the Israelites have done. The Lord has blessed them so much. He has given them the word of God. He has given them the promised land, given them the prophets. But still, what happened? The Lord has done so much. See, book of Isaiah. The Lord weeps over them. Book of Isaiah chapter 5. Book of Isaiah, chapter 5, verse 2. Read that, please. Book of Isaiah, chapter 5, verse 2. In King James Version, it says wild grapes. What? He expected to bring forth grapes, good fruit. But it brought forth worthless ones, wild grapes. So If we do not spend our life for the Lord, we'll be bringing forth wild grapes. Wild grapes. Wild grapes may be the deeds of the flesh, the sinful deeds, sinful things. So if we waste our life like that, then Lord, see, has punished them. That's why children of Israel subjected to a lot of punishment. He has punished them. So we may lose this opportunity or whatever the facilities that God has given to us. So we must bring forth good fruit unto the Lord. Good fruit unto the Lord. He wants us to be fruitful. That's why Lord Jesus also gives a parable to the publicans and Pharisees and Pharisees and scribes. Tells them, a man has planted a garden. He given it to the contractors, people. He asked them to look after it, give him the grapes. But when the time came, when he sent for the fruit, the people did not give him. That's what the children of Israel have done, even at the time of Lord Jesus Christ. And he sent, master sends his son, and they stoned the son also. That's what they have done to Lord Jesus Christ. So finally, what happened? When the master comes back, he punishes them. He kills all of them and gives it to other people. The same thing may happen to us. So Lord expects us to bring forth good fruit. And fourthly, in the garden, you also find fragrance. Fragrance, no? Sweet aroma, sweet smell you get, fragrance. See, the Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 16. Here, there, the bride says, let my beloved come into the garden and eat his pleasant fruit. The bride is talking about the beloved. That is Lord Jesus Christ. When he comes into our lives, when he looks at our life, we must be able to see the sweet fragrance. Sweet fragrance. What does it show? John's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 3 also we read that Mary, when Lord Jesus sat for the food in the house of Lazarus, she pours the precious ointment on his feet and worships him. Then the whole house was filled with the sweet odor. So that fragrance shows the worshipful attitude or worshipful life. Worship. Where Lord expects us to worship him. As we mentioned, we are created for his glory. Glory. So we are meant for his glory. Our personal life must bring glory to him. Our family life must bring glory to him. Our life of career or the place where we work must bring forth glory to him. And the society in which we live, through our lives, Lord's name must be glorified. That's what he expects. That's why he says, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, Paul says, read that. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. The worship doesn't mean, of course, not only means what we offered today, just for a few minutes we have offered worship. That is the fruit of our lips. That is also necessary. But our whole life should be a sweet aroma, sweet worship to the Lord. Whatever Lord has given to us, that is he has given for his glory. Our family life, husband and wife, as they live according to the word of God, they bring glory to the Lord. The children, when they are given, they are gifts from the Lord. We worship the Lord for the children. And we bring them up. Through the children, we glorify the Lord. Through our family life, we glorify the Lord. Through our job life, we glorify the Lord. Every aspect of our life must bring worship to the Lord. It's not that only when we come here or Sunday morning we are worship. Whole life is a worship. Whole life is a worship. And we worship, and as we live our personal life, family life, job life, or social life, as we encounter so many circumstances, we, as we look on to Him, as we depend upon Him, we learn about more of Him. As we knowledge of Him increases, our worship also increases. We admire Him. We not only for what He has given us salvation, all right, but what is beyond that? We know Him as a Lord and Savior beyond that. We must know, as we spend time with Him, as we encounter so many problems in our life, as we solve them with His help, we come to more of Him, more of Him. And then our worship also increases. Our adoration towards Him, admiration towards Him increases. That is real worship. That is the real life. We worship Him every aspect of our life. It's not only fruit of our lips. Fruit of our lips. For everything, we worship Him. That gives the sweet aroma to Him. See, He also says, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. 2:14. By savior of His knowledge at every place. Save, that is, to the sweet order of His knowledge. That is, our God is a God of immensity, infinity. There are so many things to know about Him. So as we know of Him, as we proclaim our God like this, people smell, sweet smell of His knowledge. We must also have the sweet smell of knowledge. See, our God, Lord Jesus Christ, He is the bread of life. He is the light of the world. He is wine, good wine. He is a good wine, a real wine. So and so forth. We read about Lord Jesus so many. He is the Lamb of God. He is the Creator. In the book of Revelation chapter 4, they worship Him because He is a Creator. He is a Creator of God, Creator as Creator. And similarly in the fifth chapter, they worship Him as His Redeemer, as the Redeemer. So many aspects are there in the Word of God. So as we know more of Him, our knowledge, the savor of His knowledge, that becomes very sweet unto us. And through our life, we must be able to manifest, show our God is a mighty God, wonderful God, great God, is a counselor. So we go to Him for our counsel. He is the light of the world. He is the bread of life. He is so on and so forth. He is the good shepherd. He is the great shepherd. He is coming shepherd, chief shepherd. Like that, we know Him, more and more of Him. And that gives sweet smell in our life. And that we must show forth through our life. So that's how our lives become a garden. So there must be order, discipline if you are a born-again person. And secondly, we mentioned that there is a foliage greenery, there is fragrance, and also there is fruit. If you are walking in the ways of the Lord, to what extent our life is indicating is a garden? Is it like a garden or is it a wilderness? Lord wants us to be a garden. That's why He paid such a great price. The broken body, the shed blood indicates why He has paid such a great price for each one of us. He doesn't want us to go to eternal hellfire, but He wants us to be a fruitful garden. He wants to be with us. He, beloved, comes into His garden, He says. So in the church, when He comes also, He must look at it as a garden. In our families also, a garden. Psalm 128 talks about wife will be a fruitful vine, and children will be like olive plants. We will not meditate upon that. So much you can meditate upon that. Similarly, the church, that's what we write in Song of Solomon, let my beloved come into my garden. That is, our church should be like a garden. And the world also, Lord wants us to be a garden. Lord wants. So even to our old age, you must be putting forth fruit and must be green. So with these few thoughts, let us examine ourselves and see to what extent we are like a garden. Otherwise, we can ask the Lord, Lord, help me to be a fruitful garden, a pleasant garden, and garden watered by You, so that may bring glory and honor unto Thee through my life.